Hey there, Rick Singeri of Vermont Edition. Just want you to know this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Summer theater! It's that time of year, and we are celebrating it today. We're going to sample a few of the great summer performances going on around our region. Let's get right into it. We are joined now by Kristen Hickson of Shakespeare on Main Street of Vermont. Hi, Kristen. Nice to talk with you.
Hi. I'm glad to be here.
You're producing this year's production, Hamlet 2017. Why the date change, or the date addition, I guess?
Well, we at Shakespeare on Main Street like to illustrate how Shakespeare is still relevant even after 500 years, and how part of the way we do that is our current play is going to be set in 2017, the set design and the costumes, and in that way we think we can better connect with our audience and today's youth and making it relevant to today.
What about the language? Is it still written in the oldie worldy Shakespeare-y language?
It is, but the way our director, Gary Mitrot, works is we use No Fear Shakespeare scripts, and that's fabulous. So we have actors who may have never done Shakespeare, and they have the Shakespearean talk on one side with modern-day English on the other, which helps the actors to better understand what they're conveying.
So give us a flavor of it. What will people experience when they go to Hamlet 2017?
Well, for one thing, the way we operate, we're very physical. We're very much engaged with our audience. We do theater in the round. We want it to be a very intimate experience for our audiences. As our name implies, Shakespeare on Main Street, we want to bring Shakespeare to you. So we are going to have three different performance venues this year. We are always on the road. We perform from Bennington all the way north up to Brandon. So you can come in, expect a small theater experience, expect to be within feet of our actors and actively engaged, very physical acting. One thing our director likes to say, and I love it, is to take it over the top. But I would say we might be over the top and back again because it's just so much fun, and he has the great ability to draw out. We have folks who grew up with our junior Shakespeare company. We also do have a School of Outrageous Shakespeare where we actually, work with our actors on building those Shakespearean skills and the acting skills. We believe that communication is just key to all relationships and being able to speak and communicate effectively. So I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be exciting. I've been watching the rehearsals. We do have some video snippets. If you go to our Facebook page, Shakespeare on Main Street of Vermont, you can see some of our video snippets in the near future. It's just a live experience. For instance, last year we did Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, and we had some folks in the audience who had seen it on Broadway decades ago, and they reflected very favorably on the way we deliver the theater.
All right. So you said one thing that has the introvert in me really nervous. You said something about a lot of interaction, or sort of not quite audience participation, but audience engagement. Tell me that doesn't mean that if I'm there, I'm going to have to, like, interact with one of the actors.
No, not at all. We won't do that to you. It's not in an embarrassing way. It's in a way where it's very real to you, where we're going to take you to that place and time.
Again, today we're talking about summer theater. We're doing a lot of sort of Shakespeare today, references to Shakespeare, little tangential Shakespeare influences. But this is right on the nail. Hamlet 2017, Shakespeare on Main Street of Vermont. We're talking with Kristen Hickson now. And Susan says, I'll be in rehearsal today at noon, but I'd like to invite everyone to visit us in Weston, Vermont to see the Vermont premiere of Tenderly, the Rosemary Clooney musical, July 13th to August 5th. It's a funny and full-hearted musical memoir by Janet Yates Fought and Mart Friedman about the girl singer we knew and the behind-the-scenes one we didn't. I'm portraying Rosemary, having originated the role in a sold-out and extended world premiere in two acts at Cincinnati Playhouse, as well as a follow-up appearance at Showplace Memphis in Tennessee. So excited to be sharing the stage with Weston Playhouse favorite and star of the TV show Scrubs, Sam Lloyd Jr. The show is directed by founding director Tim Fort. Susan, thanks for sharing that. Kristen, is summer theater in Vermont and summer performance in Vermont a kind of collaborative type of thing, or do you really feel like there's competition for eyeballs?
Well, that's a wonderful question. I'm glad you asked that. So we I think we're a very close-knit, very much collaborative group. I personally am involved in a few other theater groups as well as our actors. We have a great, great lot of talent, and it only makes sense to share that talent. And so we do have actors who perform in multiple theater groups in the area. You know, we like to work with, and I don't want to leave anybody out. Marble Valley Players, Brandontown Players. We work with a Vermont Actors Repertory. So yes, we do have a lot. We do some sharing of directors as well. For instance, I'll be producing for Vermont Actors Rep. We like to share the talent. You know, maybe there's that perfect role for that actor out there, and we might know of that person, and we'll send emails and we'll, hey, do you know of anybody who would be great for this role? So I think it's a very nurturing, very helpful thing. We do have a few actors with us this year. We have awesome talent. We have former Broadway actors. We have a former soap opera star. We're just really happy about that. But for people who maybe this, you know, Shakespeare might be a scary thing you did in high school English, and, you know, you're kind of concerned about maybe acting in Shakespeare, we have an assistant director who is coaching those people. And it's just, like we say, we use the No Fear Shakespeare script. We have a coach. We try to make it as a positive experience. And I think it speaks to the fact that we have actors who come back to us year after year. And we have junior company actors who come back to us year after year. In fact, my children were part of the junior troupe years ago.
I did Shakespeare once. I was in a performance or a show, Measure for Measure, and I just loved it. I loved the language. Once you get into it, you really do find the rhythm and find the humor in Shakespeare and find something that I think perhaps if you just have a fear of that language, or if you think, I don't know, do I really want to listen to that? Like you just get enveloped in it, and it's really kind of a wonderful thing. And I imagine that your actors find that as well.
Yes, they really do. You know, I was at rehearsal doing footage last weekend, and wow, just it's so impressive that we've been rehearsing a few weeks and we already have actors off script, and, you know, just the physicality. And I think that we like to work with our actors in that the sooner you're off script, the sooner you can really get into your character, because that script is kind of in the way of you being physical and being totally engaged.
So where and when are you performing Hamlet 2017?
So opening weekend is going to be at Maple Street School in Manchester, Vermont. That'll be Saturday, July 2nd at 7 p.m. and Sunday, July 23rd at 2 p.m. That's our first weekend. The following weekend, we're going to be at Brandon Town Hall, Saturday, July 29th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, July 30th at 2 p.m. And we're very excited. We're actually expanding our reach. This will be our first year. We're going to be at Woodstock Little Theater in Woodstock. That's going to be Saturday, August 5th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, August 6th at 2 p.m.
Well, I hope it all goes smashingly. And thank you very much for telling us about it, Kristen.
Thank you so much for having me.
Kristen Hixon is the producer of Hamlet 2017, put on by Shakespeare on Main Street of Vermont. Sharon Reeves, co-producer of Vermont Pride Theater, writes, in late July, Vermont Pride Theater at Chandler returns for its seventh annual season with something for everyone. The screwball comedy Family Holiday, the medical drama Love Alone, and a full evening of LGBTQ playlets called Out of the Closet. With performances July 21st through 23rd and 28th through 30th, the festival also provides opportunities to discuss the issues raised in the plays and to meet the 20-plus actors from throughout the state. And Sharon shared an email address or a website with us that we'll put up at vpr.net. Katrina says there's amazing theater going on in Brattleboro at the New England Youth Theater with melodrama festivals, musicals, Shakespeare, and more, all performed by actors ages 9 to 19. Watching children discover the beauty of live theater is inspiring, and the level of professionalism will astound you with gorgeous sets, costumes, and lighting. This summer's delightful musical, The Drowsy Chaperone, opens next weekend and runs for 2 weeks. And let's go to Jane calling in from Waterford. Hi, Jane. Go right ahead. What are you excited
for? Hi there.
Hi.
I have two shows in St. Johnsbury, if I'm allowed to do two.
Sure.
One is St. Johnsbury Academy Theater is going to do Romeo and Juliet at the end of July, and that's with high school kids and for community people. And then I want to point out that the St. Johnsbury Players are celebrating their 80th anniversary this year. We're one of the oldest amateur theaters and community theaters in Vermont. And we are doing an 80th anniversary review mid-August.
Ah, sounds wonderful. Jane, thank you so much for sharing them with us. Break a leg. I hope it goes really, really well. Thanks. And let's go to Devorah calling in from Worcester. Hi, Devorah. You're on.
Hello.
Hi.
So I've been involved now for 9 years with the Vermont Playwrights Circle's Ten Fest. I've been an actor, a writer, and a director, and this year marks our 10th annual production. And this Ten Fest is a 10-minute play festival. All plays are written by Vermonters. It's a mixture of funny, sad, serious, lighthearted. It's held at the Valley Players Theater in Waitsfield, and this year's dates are August 17th to 20th.
What do you love about summer performances, Devorah?
Excuse me?
What do you love about summer performances and being a screenwriter and actually performing these things, having them performed in the summertime for everybody to enjoy?
I just love live theater, and it's both, you're both planned and rehearsed, and it's spontaneous too. And you're right there with the audience. The audience is part of the show.
Do you think in the summertime people, I mean, this is summer stock is something that a lot of performers and writers really love, and people love going to see this kind of performance as well. It feels like there's almost a community that's formed around it that includes the audience in a really nice way that, you know, is sort of happens in other seasons. But I don't know. There feels like the community is almost tighter between performers and audience members in the summertime. Do you think that's true?
I don't know. That's a good question. It may be because we're all maybe a little relieved that summer's here. No, there's so much theater going on in the summer, especially, that I think it just brings everyone together. It's a community thing, I think.
Well, Devorah, thank you for telling us about Ten Fest. Really appreciate that. We'll get some information up at vpr.net on that as well. We are talking summer theater, summer performances today, and getting a little sampling of some of the fun things you can experience around the region this season. And I'm joined now by Valdine Hall of the Highland Center for the Arts in Greensboro. Hi, Valdine. Nice to talk with you.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for having me.
You have one of the newest and grandest theater spaces in Vermont this year. The Highland Center has just opened. It's got space for 225 seats, a smaller performance space, a cafe, lots of ways to set up a stage. That all sounds great. Can you describe the building's design, which has really been sort of a focal point as well?
The theater itself is based loosely on the globe. So we have the thrust stage and the theater in the round, which provides for a very intimate setting. Anyone watching a performance, not only are you engaged with the actors, but you're engaged with your neighbors across the way, the other patrons visiting the show.
You can see their eyebrows raise in amazement.
Exactly.
So will you be performing Shakespeare in this globe-like theater this summer?
We are. We're doing a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream. It's starting on August 9th. We'll have an August 9th and August 10th, which is Wednesday and Thursday, preview shows. So tickets will be $10 for people who want to come.
What else are you doing this summer?
Our programming for this year is to try to offer something for everyone. So we are doing the Midsummer Night's Dream. Our first ticketed event is coming up on July 3rd. So we're having Grammy award-winning Room Full of Teeth. We're doing a free event July 11th with Shay's Lounge for people. Rob Merman, founder of Circus Smirkus, will be doing Silence or Golden, movie night for us. Opera North will be performing with us later in the summer, as well as L'Event du Nord. And then Willa Mamet will be there in September, and North Sea Gas. We, as you mentioned, we're a brand new facility. We've just moved in. So we have blocked out our summer programming and are now working on our fall programming. So, you know, there'll be exciting things coming up for the next 3 months as well after the summer season.
Yeah, you want to be an around-the-year space for people to use.
We are. We are going to be a year-round space. We'll be there. We'll be open for people to come by and visit and just, you know, take a tour during the day and then definitely come back to watch an event.
And part of the idea here is not just to be sort of an exclusive space for performances that people have to pay for and go to, but to really be part of the community, as I understand it from your wishes, at least, is that you'll have educational opportunities for people. This will be more of a community gathering space.
Exactly. Our first performance was actually the local high school. We, as I said, we are brand new, so we have a partnership with Northern Stage. And we had them bring their Shakespeare in the School program to our local high school. So those students were our first performers there, which was fantastic. You had kids who had never been in a theater before there on the stage doing Shakespeare. It was phenomenal. And then this fall, we have a program in place where we hope to be able to work with the local elementary school and bring the kids in even younger. My thought is the younger you introduce theater to kids in the area, the more they'll grow to love it.
And you mentioned that you're collaborating with Northern Stage, a production company and theater space that they have there in White River Junction. So what else is coming out of that collaboration? How is that helping you sort of figure out what to do with the Highland Center?
They're helping us with the administrative end as well of setting things up and contracts and programming ideas. They are guiding us. We're producing A Midsummer Night's Dream, but they worked with us in terms of securing actors. This is a combination of Equity and local community actors as well. So it's been fantastic working with them. And they're basically, their team has come to us. We have their sales and marketing person. We have their programming person. And we've been learning a lot in terms of working with them.
This space, the Highland Center, from what I'm reading, was a $14 million endeavor, and you had a patron. What was the thinking behind putting a theater and learning space like this in Greensboro?
To bring arts to a rural corner of the Northeast Kingdom. As I mentioned, we started with the local high school, and then we're doing the local elementary school. But eventually, we want to branch out. And we did our opening weekend. We did 3 days of free activities and free events, and we had people coming from further afield, which is wonderful. So we're hoping that this will be a regional thing, and everyone will sort of travel in and come to see us. We are also partnering with Catamount Arts. We're doing our ticketing with them and hope to do some programming with them as well. So just to sort of have collaborative arrangements with area arts organizations and to provide more opportunities for people. Part of making this available to everyone is that we spent a lot of time coming up with ways to make this affordable for everyone. So, you know, families with EBT cards can get $5 tickets to shows. They just need to register with us. And hopefully this will make everyone feel welcome and make this feel that this is their theater. This facility is for everyone.
So then what performances, yours or any others around the region, are you really excited about this summer, Valdine?
I think we have a very diverse programming coming up. There are a number of local summer theater productions houses. Unadilla Theater has an interesting lineup, so I'm hoping to get down to see some of their shows as well this summer. They're doing Two Sisters is one of the ones that I definitely want to see. And so it's good. But I have to say that I am kept pretty busy, so I'm not sure how much free time I'm going to have.
Yes, those of you who are actually working in summer theater don't get to experience as much of it as perhaps those of us who have some leisure time do.
Right.
Valdine Hall is with the Highland Center for the Arts in Greensboro. Thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you, Jane.
We've talked about Shakespeare. We've talked about a theater that was modeled after the famous Globe Theater in London. How about something a little different now? Let's turn to Rose Friedman of Modern Times Theater and Vermont Vaudeville. Hi, Rose.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk a little bit first about what you're doing with Modern Times Theater this summer. First of all, tell us what it is.
Modern Times Theater is a theater that consists of myself and my husband, Justin Lander. And we perform mostly these days, what we're performing is kids' puppet shows, Punch and Judy hand puppet shows that we're taking all over the state and New Hampshire to a lot of libraries, as well as schools and festivals and fairs. So we're doing entertainment that's kind of it's directed at kids, but it's really enjoyed by the whole family. And we always open our shows with some live instruments, some music, vaudeville style music, entertainment, and some cranky shows. And then we do the big puppet show.
Cranky shows, you mean?
Hand-cranked paper movies.
I thought that might
be. Yeah.
How neat. Where did you source that?
Well, we learned about that particular art form through our work with Bread and Puppet Theater. There were some puppeteers around that company that were doing those shows, and we were really inspired to make some of our own. So we do a lot of illustrated songs and then some stories that we tell with that device. And it really, it just captures the attention in a totally different way. We call it our own flat screen technology.
So as you said, this is you and your husband, Justin Lander. Can you sort of orally, as an A-U-R, bring us into the act? What would I experience if I come to it?
Well, we start the show, you know, with the music, and that is played on a variety of instruments. You will definitely find a ukulele. I play my cigar box ukulele made from an old cigar box, and then Justin plays the cornet, like a slightly different shaped trumpet, and sometimes the upright bass. And then he often will bring out America's favorite instrument, which is, of course, the bicycle pump, mm-hmm. and play a little bit on that. And then we'll do a cranky show or two, and then we'll go into the puppet show. And the puppet show is, like a traditional box stage that Justin is inside of, and I'm outside the stage with the uke. And we're taking the very old form of the Punch and Judy show, which has existed for well over 300 years, and we're sort of reinventing it for the modern sensibilities and sense of humor. And the show also, we theme it each year based on the summer reading program of the libraries. So this year the theme is building a better world. And so we've got Mr. Punch, and he's always getting into trouble and making terrible mistakes, and the kids are helping him figure out how to do better. And he generally ends up getting involved in some pretty sticky situations, and usually it results in the kids having to tell him pretty loudly. we often hear from people who, you know, are maybe clear on the other side of the field from where we're performing, telling us that they heard the kids screaming from pretty far away. So,
and the kids aren't screaming in fear.
No, they're not. They're not. Usually they're screaming in sheer excitement. And that's definitely part of the tradition of the Punch and Judy show, is some real interactive, exciting elements.
Like, look out, he's behind you.
Exactly. Look out, he's behind you.
But one of the other traditional elements of a Punch and Judy show, as our producer Sam pointed out, is domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I understand, is something that you are sort of tweaking when you talk about bringing Punch and Judy to a modern audience with more modern sensibilities.
Certainly. I mean, the whole context that Punch came out of was, of course, really different. I mean, Punch is from England about 350 years ago. But in every culture throughout history, there have been Punch-like characters. There's Casper in Germany. There's different ones wherever you go. So that character, though he's different depending on where he is, that he has a lot of sort of a common thread running through. And that's usually this, like, very rascally kind of behavior. And there was a time when it was more socially acceptable that he clubbed people over the head. And, of course, that's not exactly what most people want to see these days. And that's not really the message that we want to promote either. So we're sort of changing that character a little bit to suit our own needs and to bring the message across that we want to bring across.
You mentioned that this is kid-friendly entertainment, but it's adult-friendly too. How do you bridge that divide and make it accessible and enjoyable to both constituencies?
Well, I think a lot of parents, you know, expect to kind of plop the kids down in the front and then sort of stand in the back and maybe just get through it. And, you know, we have to win them over a little bit. And sometimes it takes, you know, a little ways into the show before they start to be as engaged as the kids are. And, you know, they might be checking their phone at the beginning, but by the end, we have the full audience really following along with the story and enjoying it. And we've had a number of adults tell us that was the first puppet show I've ever really enjoyed. So I feel like we're doing our job when we hear that.
So it's not just the kids shouting, look out, he's behind you. It's the parents,
the adults,
too.
Yeah, they try to contain themselves, but they often can't. And a lot of what we're doing is trying to bring, you know, this kind of full family entertainment to a lot of non-traditional theater spaces and to small towns that are maybe, you know, a far throw from any performing arts center where they might be able to see a good show. And it's really nice to work with the libraries because that makes it so that the shows are free. And we just so appreciate the library system for that gift to all of these kids and families across the state, because we can make our living doing what we love, and then we can bring these shows to families, and they don't have to pay to see it.
Where are you performing this summer?
We are performing all over the place. Today we have a show in Morrisville at the Morristown Library. And, you know, we've started the last month. We went to Canaan and to Queechee. Tomorrow night we'll be at the Essex Parks and Rec Department. And our very exciting show, we're really excited about this this year, is for the first time we'll be performing, doing a beach show. So we'll be performing at Caspian Lake in Greensboro, and that's on the 6th of July at 1 p.m. And we're excited about that because the traditional Punch and Judy shows always happened on the English seaside, and it was something that, you know, the families would be out swimming and picnicking, and then they would get to take in this puppet show. So we're sort of continuing that tradition.
Just bring your bug spray.
Exactly.
You're also, you've really studied and have a keen interest in the history of performance in Vermont and this old sort of style of circuit performing, taking your show on the road and doing it all over the place. And you and Justin are also founding members of Vermont Vaudeville, which you've been doing for a lot, like 8 or 9 years now.
Yep, that's right.
So how do those interests combine into this performance and performing companies that you guys have created?
Well, you know, as I was saying with the music piece that we do as part of the puppet show, you know, we do a lot of novelty music and kind of old vaudeville bits that we fold into all of our performing. And we got together with our co-producers, Brent and Maya McCoy, and we decided we wanted to put on this show together, partly because we had all of these various skills, performing skills, that we wanted to collaborate with, and then also because we live in Hardwick, where there's the most gorgeous old theater, which is the Hardwick Townhouse, and it's the opera house of the town, and, you know, pretty much every town in Vermont has a beautiful old theater like this. A lot of them have the historic painted curtains. And they're just beautiful spaces with great acoustics and a lot of charm. So we were excited to bring a show into that space, and that's really how Vermont Vaudeville started. Now, of course, we've gone to other spaces, and we do some touring, but the root of what we do is really connected to that particular space.
Rose Friedman is one of the founding members of Vermont Vaudeville and Modern Times Theater. Thank you so much for telling us about both of them. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking about summer theater, summer performances today. Piper says, I love the Gilbert and Sullivan at Unadilla. Erica says, Old Castle Theater in Bennington, Vermont is a professional theater company for 46 years. Right now, Moonlight and Magnolias is playing until July 9th. And Ruth says, Shakespeare in Vermont? Oh, my. The Vermont Shakespeare Festival is performing R3, Richard III, Anatomy of a Villain, on July 29th, outdoors at the Shelburne Museum. In its 12th season, Vermont Shakespeare presents full-length plays with a troupe of professional actors. R3 will be gripping and outrageous, telling the tale of a ruthless, power-crazed royal who lies and murders his way to the highest seat in the land. In this reimagined script-in-hand presentation, Vermont Shakespeare distills the action of the play with six actors and puts evil on trial. Again, you can tell us about your summer theater experiences. Why don't you post it at vpr.net? Just click on Vermont Edition. Before we leave the topic of summer performances, we bring you the story of one more production. Now, as the old saying goes, you haven't truly experienced Shakespeare until you've experienced it as it was originally performed outdoors by tightly choreographed Vermont sheep and herding dogs. Doggy Hamlet has its world premiere on Dartmouth Green today, and VPR's Rebecca Sinanis went to a recent rehearsal to find out more.
There will be more blood!
Doggy Hamlet is loosely based on the book
The Story of Edgar Sawtelle, a New York Times bestseller that transposes the plot of Hamlet to rural Wisconsin. Loose is the overwhelming feeling of this performance arts piece. Four dancers move around a large open field, donning sheepskins draped over their shoulders. A flock of freshly sheared sheep and obedient border collies zip around them. Ann Carlson is the choreographer. She has been conceiving the piece since she read the book The Story of Edgar Sawtelle about 4 years ago. Now, Carlson furiously scribbles notes, sitting in a pickup truck bed as she watches a rehearsal of the performance.
Good, 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 good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're attempting to scatter. Beautiful, beautiful. Get him away from that edge. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Oh, don't.
Carlson is known for using non-performers to actualize her work. Dancers have been fly fishermen, nuns, corporate executives, janitors. Now, Doggy Hamlet is interpretive and earthy. It combines sign language, choreographed dance, and improvisation.
I really enjoy the everyday gesture, the movement of the everyday in the body, in the bodies of the animals. And that's, I think, what propels me to work with a lot of different types of performers and a lot of different types of people.
But the stars of the show are the local flock of sheep from Stratford, Vermont. They're not performers by training, and yet some of the most exhilarating moments are when the sheep take 3-foot leaps off the ground like trained ballerinas.
And they're real sheep, but they're also symbols. And the performers obviously are real human beings, and they are symbols of ourselves.
Just looking just now, like how graceful the sheep are. And you might never think of sheep as graceful.
So you don't think of them as jumpers. If you noticed, they jumped because for them, there was an invisible pressure, a line between these performers and the pelts that were on the ground. And so they had to jump over that spatial pressure. So because they feel the pressure of us standing up high here, they feel pressure in their bodies. That's why the dog moves them so quickly. The performers put pressure on them. The audience will put pressure on them. I don't know how that feels, but that's a lot what we're seeing too.
This wild, choreographed, somewhat unpredictable show premieres on the Dartmouth Green this evening. After that, it will be performed in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, Philadelphia, and L.A. For VPR News, I'm Rebecca Sinanis in Norwich.
Again, Doggy Hamlet premieres on the Dartmouth Green today at 4:30 and 7 p.m., and that is rain or shine unless there's lightning.